Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this segment. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, Hafidhahullah, is with us, and it's been a long time. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaikum assalam. How's everything, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. All is well on our side. How's your health? How's everything that side?
Alhamdulillah, health is good. It's getting a little chilly. Very chilly, as a matter of fact. They expect it to go down to single digits probably tomorrow night. So we'll see what happens. The summer was very long, and the winter seems to be very short, but now it looks like it's going to get a little severe. But we'll see what happens, inshallah. Allah is merciful.
And how's there was some fog and all of that previously, is that cleared up?
Yeah, it's cleared up a little. And the problem was in Lahore, Islamabad, not here in Karachi. We didn't have much of a problem like that. Smog and fog in Punjab, meaning Lahore, Islamabad. But here we had fog, but no smog, or not too much anyway. So alhamdulillah, things have cleared up a little bit.
And actually, I was trying to, because I got back to work here on the 1st of January, on New Year's Day. You know, the whole baseless New Year's and all of that. So I was here, and then I think I did try to contact you, but it was a bit too late or something. Late notice, meaning. So then I wanted to actually know how was, because we've seen in certain places like Iraq and other places of the world, where you expect, so-called outwardly they claim to be Muslim and all of this. We know the reality. But falling for all of this, and how many people died then from all those fireworks and everything. So I was curious to know, in Pakistan, what's it like there? Are the Muslims like more against it or for it? I've seen non-Muslim countries such as Germany, and that they said it's just, we need to do away with all of this now. Yeah, in South Africa also, the police has put down and enforced certain rules. It's not Islamic rules, not Islamic law, of course, but at least, you know, something from their side to say that there is some concern, so-called concern for, you know, humanity and bursting crackers at such late hours. It was limited time, limited hours. But in Pakistan, how was it there with over 90% Muslimin, so-called?
Yeah, allegedly 90%. The Islam in Pakistan is only on the passport. Okay, Islamic Jamhuriyat of Pakistan. Okay, that's all the Islam. The Constitution is not Islamic, nor are the laws Islamic. There was information on the net, on Facebook, in the local newspapers, at the beach, it'll be, we expect a lot of crowds, so these are the routes that you need to take to get to the beach, okay? Avoid these streets and take these streets, and, you know, that was the thing. They made it easier for the people to get to the places they wanted to go. All right, because we're like every other country. Every country celebrates New Year's, and so do we. I mean, come on. The fact that we're Muslim, what does that have to do with it? When 90% of us don't pray.
Exactly. And, so it was pretty bad to see a country like Iraq, for over 500 people dying from fireworks. Now, what's the whole Islamic perspective there? These Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." And Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu's verdict as well, stay away from the enemies of Allah on their celebrations, all of this. And here you go out, guns or fire blazing, and spreading all of this here, corruption. What sign of Islam are you giving? I mean, in London as well, mayor there is, his name is Sadiq Khan. Sadiq, I don't think Sadiq, but we'll rather say Kadhib is a better word to use for him. But there he is at the forefront in all of these celebrations. And of course, for his own agenda, because he was knighted by Keir Starmer and all of that there. But you see all of this Muslimin by name. And we know the hadith where Rasul ﷺ mentions, it's in Bukhari Sharif as well, where alcohol and all of this will be made halal. You'll be using, I know you have told us, Mufti Saab, previously of that that shop that they opened up, and it's all looks like a bar and everything, but they're just serving beverages, normal beverages, juice and that. But the whole setup, everything is like a bar and all of that. And the reason they gave there was, and I think you also commented on it, where you said it's to take people away from drinking, so we'll create this. So, so where's the Islam in all this? That's what we question.
But we take away New Year's, the other 364 days of the solar year, there's no sign of Islam in Pakistan. So there's no need to be surprised about the 1st of January not looking like Muslims. All right, the majority of the men walking around without beards. And I have said before, if you're in some place and you can't see above, but you can see below, and you see the ankles, all right? If ankles are covered, it's by a man. His shalawar is below his ankles. And if you see shalawar above the ankles, then that's a woman. Okay, you don't have to go outside and look at the top to see who it, you understand automatically. Okay, here. So the sign of Islam is not here the rest of the year. So why would we expect an Islamic response to New Year's? Okay, it's just no different at all.
Yes, and there's a particular question. I was speaking to someone from America the other day. They came here to South Africa, and they were explaining to us how Islam is, because why I'm asking this is because you have experience in America in that, and then you moved to Pakistan and all of this. So they said that Islam is really growing in America, and when I spoke and I asked, okay, but how do they achieve this and that? So one of the ways they said, there's particular organizations which they use, and there they have like a masjid, and some days you will have like, people can just go to the masjid at any time. Even non-Muslims are most welcome there. If you just feel like, you just want to go and as a woman, take off your hijab and you want to learn something, or you want to, it's no problem. They cater for that as well. And through this, they're seeing a lot of people accepting Islam. So I didn't want to make it a lengthy discussion, whatever, but you could already say where this is going. Yes, in South Africa as well, this effort has been in place, but alhamdulillah, we have our seniors like Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai and all the scholars. If you have to look at all our, you have Mufti Ibrahim Saleji, Mufti AK, all of them speaking against these open day masjids and everything. And when you see it, it makes a big difference. But you have the modern groups within our communities here also raising their eyebrow and saying, but why are you chasing people away from the masjid? Here's an opportunity. Look at America, how many people are accepting Islam? So we then pose the question, but what Islam are they actually embracing? And is this true Islam? Now, we just like your perspective and your input regarding all of this, especially from this angle, because this will really play a role, especially for the listeners to understand, because you're a revert and you've witnessed this. What's your experiences and what's your response to this?
I was born in 1955. And when I got a little bit older, and not a little bit older, I'm a teenager, just looking in the almanacs and encyclopedias and other magazines and what have you, Islam has been the fastest growing religion in America since the early 1900s. Okay? So it's not because of Tabligh Jabbat or because of open masjids or anything like that. It's, you know, people looking for the truth. All right, and me being one of them, looking for the truth. And so Allah dragged me into the deen. Okay, although my whole family is was Christian and still remains Christian. So it's not the efforts of the people. It is Allah bringing people to the deen, and He's chosen America, okay, to bring people in a very quick manner, okay, more than Christianity. Churches are closing down. We've seen articles about that, and masjids, Muslims are buying ex-churches and turning them into masjids. Okay, when I became a Muslim in 74, there was only two or three masjids in all of New York City, and now there's more than 200. But like you just said, but what type of Muslims are they? If you look in the living rooms of the Muslims, okay, it looks like a kafir living room. It has the same television, the same stereo. They listen to the same music. They watch the same television shows. The Christian goes to church on Sunday. The Muslim goes to the masjid if he can, because if he's working, he may have a problem. He'll go on Friday, okay, but the practice of the religion is very little, okay? A woman is considered very, very deeny if she wears a kimar, okay? Forget about the burqa and, you know, niqab. No, if she just covers her head with a scarf, she's like a radical, you know, Muslim woman. So in America. So again, we have Islam and we have American Islam, and it's two completely different things. It's like Freemasons have a uniform, Army has a uniform, so Muslims have a uniform, okay? But a lot of practice is not necessarily there, okay? If you see somebody, he may be wearing a if he's a new Muslim like myself in America, you may see him dressing Islamically, okay? But his knowledge of the deen is very little, and he'll think many things are okay. Then you have the people who were born into the deen who have come to America, but they haven't come for Islam, okay? They came for money. So they'll be clean shaved, okay? And there's not a lot of love between the two, okay? I know when I was there, the Pakistanis and the Arabs especially did not like to pray in masjids that were started by new Muslims because of our difficulty in pronouncing Arabic correctly in the namaz, okay? Even though we would bring a hafiz from Canada for Ramadan, they still wouldn't pray there. You had places where Pakistanis and Bengalis were praying in the same masjid, okay? But every year they would have elections before the board, president, vice president, etc. And every year they would have fights in the masjid to the point where they had to have the elections outside the masjid because they were disrespecting the masjid. I will pray your janazah and all kind of threats and everything. So when one group, the Bengalis, they lost the election, their people didn't get the presidentship, okay? So they started a new masjid on the same street. So you have one masjid that's predominantly Pakistani, and then the other one was a Bengali on the same street. And at Fajr, you'd have less than one saf in both masjids. So that was a problem. Okay, and those people were really actually bearded and trying to practice. We're not talking about the clean shave and suit and tie doctors and engineers who have come from the Indian subcontinent to America, or the rich Arabs, or middle class Arabs who've come to America. And the first thing they do is come to a black neighborhood and open up a store. And when they open up the store, the first thing they do is get a liquor license so they can sell alcohol. All right. So you go in there and into their stores. South Yemenis were very famous for coming in a black neighborhood, opening up a grocery store, and having wine. Well, not wine, but beer. Alcohol. In the refrigerators, lottery tickets at the front desk, okay? And back then it was the videotapes, okay? The adult blue movies, okay? All in the same shop and all owned by Muslims, okay? So this is the reality also, okay? when I was there, and it's worse now.
Just to,
right? In America, you have masjids that only have women in it. Men are not allowed in a masjid. You have masjids that have women for imams, where everyone prays in the same saf, men and women together. Okay, you have women muazzins. Okay, in America, well, what are we talking about here? You know, yes, there's Islam there, but American Islam.
And it's just, while you're speaking now, there's so many things to reflect upon. I'll just say one of the things is what you have done is you've made me understand a certain principle here of the Americans. And you've said this previously, where they try to divide and rule. So this gives, when you're speaking about all the deviant sects and all of this here, when you look at feminism, you look at all these isms, then it is basically that separate. The woman must now have a dispute with her. It's like she's going to war with her husband. How come you have these rights? How come you have this here? So that's all that. Then you see on a broader scale in the country between presidents, you see in Islam, and you said it's not just in Islam, it's in everything. So that's how they, and to, it's over the few weeks when you see all these new happenings that are taking place, then you see how it's divide and rule, divide and rule, divide and rule. That was the one thing. The other thing also is that you're speaking about the masjids and what you saw. In fact, before that, you said about the Arabs or those Muslims who were owning these stores, liquor stores. Was this before you accepted Islam or after you accepted Islam that you witnessed these things?
After I accepted Islam, I didn't know Sunni Muslims before I accepted Islam. Okay, Sunni Muslims were not found for the most part. Again, I accepted in 74, and the biggest thing then closest to Islam was the Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan, which we know is not Islam. And there was another group, the Ansar Allah, okay, and they were not Muslim. So seeing a Sunni-owned liquor store or Muslims who had come from like I said, Yemen or something like that. Before 1974, no, I didn't see them. All right. In my neighborhood, it was only black owned for the most part. Okay. So I didn't see that until later. But again, it was after I became Muslim, though. And there's one person that I know, a brother, he studied here in Pakistan. Now he's back in California. And I think it's San Francisco or Oakland. Oakland, California. Okay. 90% of the liquor stores owned in Oakland, California, are owned by Muslims. Okay, and most of them are foreign. people who were not born in America and come there. So there was only two in all of the city that were owned by American-born non-Muslims. Okay? And they would put signs in the store saying, we're American-owned. Okay? But people were going and buying from Muslims. So the friend that I had, he said when people would come to visit him, all right, he would give them directions and say, oh, okay, when you get from the airport, you go down this street, and then you go down this street, and then you stop at this liquor store, okay? And at this liquor store, then you ask where the masjid is. And the people, why did I ask for the masjid at the liquor store? He said, yeah, because the liquor store is owned by Muslims. So they will tell you how to get to the masjid. Now, that was like 10 years ago. Okay? So yeah, this is Islam in America. This is where the Christian gives dawah to the Muslim. Black woman going to a Yemeni's owner of the store, complaining, why you sell pork? Okay, so black Christian woman who did not eat pork, all right? She said, why are you selling this when you can't sell it in your country? Okay, she giving him dawah.
Opening their eyes, yeah.
And all right, so yeah, this is what we have. Yeah, and it happens a lot. The people, non-Muslims who maybe not Christian, okay, they like Islam, but they haven't accepted Islam. When they see Muslims doing wrong things, they correct the Muslims. Okay, well, one Puerto Rican, he owned a store and he sold marijuana. Yeah, he sold marijuana, okay, illegally, before it became legal. And there was a Muslim woman, a black Muslim woman, new Muslim, who would wear burqa, okay, but she would go there to buy marijuana. So the owner, non-Muslim, he contacted one of the brothers, all right, and said, listen, you know, I want to make money. I got no problem selling this to her, but tell her she shouldn't come into the, she shouldn't come into my shop just like that. It embarrasses your religion. Okay, it embarrasses your religion for her to do that. So she should send somebody else to buy for her, and I'll sell it to her. Okay, so we have non-Muslims who respect Islam, and if they see a Muslim doing something wrong, they'll correct them.
And just to
I don't think that happens in South Africa.
It does. It does. I've got a.
It does. Okay.
I've heard Mulana Yunus Daya Rahmatullah Ali, perhaps you've heard a few of his maybe short clips or whatever it may be. He passed away now a few years ago, but he's giving a description of how, yeah, just close by where he stayed, I'm from the same area. He said that a Hindu teacher came to complain to him, and he said to him that, you know, it's just appalling to see how the Muslim female teachers are dressed in our school. And he's telling Mulana that you need to please speak to them. And he says, the Hindu is saying, I cannot understand this. He says, okay, if you take Hindus, we know, we're long gone, we don't even know where we are. We sometimes worshipping the 8 hands, sometimes no hands, sometimes they even, you know that one group, they worship the male organ. The male organ.
Yes.
So he's saying that we long gone, we don't have a book, we don't have nothing. You take the Christians also, they lost. They don't have any solid book, nothing. You take the Jews, the same thing. But you Muslims have the Quran, you have everything protected. How are you people still going off track? So we do get those rare occasions where this actually takes place. So that's a good reminder as well. Lastly, just before we leave you, Mufti Saab, this is also an important question. Now, we can't pose it to a Muslim because we don't know how he was before and how he's from birth, he's a Muslim. But we're speaking about born bred Muslims, but you have that experience where that time of darkness, then you came into the light, Allah had brought you to this. Now, many people say that, you know, if we are going to be so strict, how is that non-Muslim going to ever see Islam when you have so many barriers, when you have so many, if I have to just think now, to reach your point, alhamdulillah, where you've got a good understanding of the Sharia and all of this here, then becoming a mufti and all of this, for if you have to think back, for a non-Muslim to reach a good understanding of Islam today, it is difficult, we have to admit it. But this is where the modernists come in, the modern Muslims, and they say we have to just be more open, like the open day masjid, open up our homes, open up, take off our clothes, you know, all of these things. They don't say that, but that's the image that they're giving. Take off your hijab sometimes, just mingle, men intermingle, give dawah to the females. You don't know whose heart are you going to touch. Mufti Saab, can you please advise the Ummah on this?
Okay, did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did he change? Did he take that advice of while in Rome, do as the Romans do? All right, no, he didn't. Okay, the people are looking for something different. The people are looking for the truth. Okay, and we have it. Did the Sahaba have it any different than we have it? When they had to give dawah to the people, they did not leave that person until they told that person, listen, you may not like what I'm saying, you may not agree with what I'm saying, but understand that the only way you're going to die and the only way you're going to go to Jannah is if you're Muslim. If you die on any other religion, all right, you're going to go to hell. Okay, so now you can take what I'm saying and you can throw it in the trash if you want, but okay, Sahaba, when they gave dawah, okay, that's how they gave it. They didn't leave that person unless they explained everything to the person. They didn't hold anything back. All right, and that was the final thing. Okay, but we're afraid to say that.
Yes.
Now you've heard of the Nation of Islam, okay, from Elijah Muhammad Qazab, okay, and Louis Farrakhan and the rest of them. Now they said in 1933 that black people, at least black Americans, were not ready to accept the true Islam because, like you said, all the restrictions and everything. So they said they're bringing something close to Islam. So when the people come in, then they can go all the way in later on. That was 1933. And, okay, it's 2025. And they still haven't come in. So no, you don't half step. Okay, Allah says in the Quran, enter Islam wholeheartedly.
Yes,
correct. Okay, so when you're at the pool, all right, Islam is the pool. All right, you don't take your foot and just put your toes in the water to see whether it's okay. No, you got to jump in. And we're afraid to tell the people to jump in. All right, there's nothing going to happen to you. You go in 100%. So my friend who got me started with modulus and other things, he said, brother, you were not Muslim before, and now you're Muslim. All right, look at your Shahada, okay, and understand that if Allah loves you, He makes you Muslim. Okay, and if people go, and you go to and give dawah to someone, and that person who was not Muslim becomes Muslim, if his life doesn't change, then there's something wrong with his shahada. And this is what we don't look at. The da'is don't look at this. We just look at, oh, this person accepted Islam, okay, and he changes his name. All right, but his life really didn't change. Maybe he'll put on a topi, and that's about it. Or pull his shirt out of his pants, but he still eats the same thing, okay? He still listens to the same music, and he still, because there's so many people that will tell you, oh, television is okay, all right? Just stay away from the nudity and the bad language and this and that. And music is okay as long as the lyrics are okay and da-da-da-da-da. And so the only thing that changed was your name.
Hmm.
Okay, and what day did you go to the house of worship? Instead of going on Sundays, you go on Friday. All right, so we can't be afraid.
Yes.
But the people who are Muslim are afraid to give the full thing, the full information. All right?
Exactly. And this has, we've seen, we'll just end the program now, inshallah, in interesting discussion. But perhaps next, inshallah, when we do have Mufti Saab on this particular program, we can maybe speak about interfaith and Abrahamic Accord and all of this. How exactly is in this, the rules of it is you can't just say Allah when you're giving dawah there. So you have Hindus, Christians, you can't say Allah. You have to use a name that is all-encompassing. You have to use, you have to say the Lord, you have to say Almighty. You can't say Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, our Creator, because then you're not being fair to the rules of interfaith and Abrahamic Accord and all of this here. So exactly how it's, we've lost that confidence, that's what it boils down to. We haven't built enough strength in our iman to say that this is iman, this is not, this is halal, this is haram, this is exactly. How are we ever going to learn if you are not able to say what's truth and what's... But I think it's this as well, that many Muslims are engaged in all of this. We've seen there in the UK that whole program that took place, peace or whatever it is, and music pumping there with a guitar and everything. And you have people there, scholars, everything, not even speaking against it. How then? You're saying, I must respect you. You're saying unity. But then how do we push Islam one side and say, you know what, unity with you? That's not being fair to Islam, which is a gift to us. So inshallah, in our next upcoming attractions, inshallah, we'll discuss all this as well. Mufti, we appreciate your time. Many lessons always been learned. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan. That was Mufti Hassan Ali from us and the team. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.